I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's C3 Church Global Podcast. And we have the great pleasure of having a conversation with Nick Hines, C3 Belconnen's pastor in Australia. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Pastor Phil. Really thrilled to be here. Looking forward to it.
Look, just before we get underway on talking about prayer together, Nick, I've always admired you because of many reasons. I mean, your choice of marriage partner was pretty good, Mel Hines.
Yep. She's a keeper, that's for sure.
What a great girl, you know, Mel is.
Yeah.
And so I would like to hear, and I think it would help a lot of people if they could understand the context and the predicaments in which you became a pastor, how old you were, and how you managed to get through that time, because that wasn't a great situation to walk into for a young man. But you've done it incredibly well. And I think there can be other pastors out there today who have got some tricky situations to be handling. And your wisdom on it would be helpful.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. It's very kind. Well, look, for us, it was a bit over 20 years ago now. And I'd grown up in an incredible church, incredible Christian home, and had moved cities, met Melissa, we'd gotten married, and we were about to do some travel, and then got tapped on the shoulder and asked to help out at a small location of a C3 in Canberra. And we prayed and felt like maybe that was our gap year instead of traveling. We thought we'll just help out for a bit, get things going. With no experience.
That's what we thought too. We thought this will be a temporary, well, other people thought that, to tell you the truth. I did have a different thought about it, but they said, look, we've got a temporary plug for this terrible situation where your previous minister had made a moral failure mistake and it wasn't pretty at all. And so it was a mess, and we just needed somebody to be in there and look after things, and that was you. And that's the situation you went into.
Totally. So my combined qualifications were I had a key to the office and knew how to turn the lights on. That was it. I hadn't preached, nothing like that. I mean, I'd grown up in music and youth ministry, but just not at those kind of levels. And so we just found ourselves in the middle of this mess, a lot of hurting, broken people, really just kind of keeping things ticking over, waiting for someone to come in who knew what they were doing. And yourself and a few others over the next 18 months just kind of just gave us a bit more permission and a bit more. And great people like Greg French and Sean Foster just sort of eventually just sidled up and said, just kind of act like it's you. Which is something I've had for a long time. A lot of situations don't know where I'm at or what I'm doing, and they're just like, "Well, act like you do." Of course, a huge amount of prayer. I mean, I love our movement. We just had so many good people around us, from just people encouraging to people giving advice and input. And we literally, I think, it feels a bit like Joseph's story. If you kind of knew how it was going to play out, you wouldn't have signed up. And God gave us just enough to keep us going until the next thing. And so we learned how to walk through grief with people and how to not take it personally. That was probably one of the biggest things. As church life will have ups and downs, and we learned that we somehow got to figure out how to care with everything we've got, but not take it personally. And there were times when it was literally just the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, it's okay, I'm moving things around for them.
Right.
That as we sort of saw great people, you know, tumbling out of control, just because they've been so broken and so hurt. So it showed us very quickly the impact and the influence a leader can have and what a sacred responsibility that is. And just the importance of prayerful commitment. Gordon Moore said to us, just stick around. He said, that's why my church has grown and people love coming, because we were here, we're steady. And so that's kind of been one of our goals, is just to be around, to make it. So there was a grace on that season, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't have many answers. Yeah.
How old were you then?
Well, if I do the maths right, I was about 23.
Right.
And I won't, you know, you don't talk of a lady's age. So my wife may have been just a couple of years older, but yeah, we're pretty young.
God has a lot more faith in us, I think, than we do often, and puts us in situations He believes we're going to get through.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So obviously, as you said, there was a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
In that situation. And there's a lot of different kinds of prayer. There's personal prayer. There's corporate prayer. There's the two or three agreeing prayer. There's the prayer of faith by the elders for the sick. There's the praying in tongues. There's groans, which cannot be too deep to be uttered, of intercession before God. There's communion prayer. There's where you just sit quietly with the Holy Spirit. There's worship prayer. There's thanksgiving. Mm. There's faith praying. I think all of these are powerful, valid expressions for prayer meetings in churches. But the reason I wanted us to have this conversation is, number one, you have led many of our conference prayer meetings with your wife and have done a really great job. And
thanks.
I'm very picky about who leads prayer meetings, because I think they might be the hardest meeting to lead of all the meetings that we do in church. Because if somebody gets up there and leads the meeting in a wrong way, that meeting can die pretty quickly. And it just becomes a very irksome meeting that people do not want to be at. And it's tough enough to keep a prayer meeting in a church, local church, on fire anyway. But to do that, you need great people leading it who've got a fire about prayer themselves and who know how to actually keep a place alive for at least 1 hour, close to an hour, of everybody seeking God. Now, at our conferences, we've had this mandatory 1 hour, which I've put in place, said I want at least 1 hour a day for the entire conference to pray. And normally it's been an early morning situation or 1 hour before. And now we have almost 16 conferences around the world. I want that practice to remain in all those conferences so that we are a praying people. And I know that in those meetings, there's going to be the need to select people who can lead these. And I want us to just talk about some of the qualities that you think are essential for leading a great prayer meeting.
Yeah, it's a great setup. It is like a prayer meeting rises and falls really easy, right? It's such a sensitive atmosphere. It's such a powerful thing, and I think curating a prayer meeting is so vital. As much, you know, we put so much effort into curating a service and putting all the pieces together and mixing the elements, and prayer absolutely needs that. I think, like you've already identified, in terms of the people to lead, I think just like a service, you need somebody who owns the whole thing, who's responsible for the way it flows, who is able to direct as it goes. And then I think a prayer meeting where just one person is leading it, that gets a bit dull. It's like, you know, I'm not just going to get up and talk for 90 minutes or whatever in a service. So finding different people who can bring different things to it, And just being really well prepared. So obviously from a personal characteristics, got to come out of a deep personal prayer life, a confidence. It is a leadership role, right? So you've actually got to be have people who can lead others, who can not just have a private moment.
Right.
That's, to me, that's a lot like worship leading. You know, you're not on stage having just a private worship moment. You are worshiping out of a private worship moment. So you have communed with the Lord. You have dug deep wells in prayer. And so you are leading and shaping a collective expression of prayer, which is an incredibly powerful thing. So a deep diligence and personal commitment to prayer, a clarity of vision and leadership. There's literally things like preparation. All of that actually, I think, really matters. And there's just got to be a spirit of faith. You know, we're not there just to make some noise to God. We're there to go somewhere together. And that's a really different thing. That's quite a powerful thing. And so there's a bunch of ways that you can put meetings together. And I've learned a lot from yourself and others just being in those environments and watching and sensing what's going on and where the Lord's taking us. So, yeah, just kind of the similar things you'd be looking for, the baseline qualities, I think, in someone who could lead other parts of other meetings in your church, in your preaching or leading worship, meeting leading, etc.
That's great. I think there's some elements that you look for too. And when we come together in prayer, I think you can go through various moods that the Holy Spirit brings into the prayer meeting. And
yeah,
and you need a person who can go with that, who can follow that. Mood might be the wrong word, or tone the Holy Spirit is bringing to a gathering. And I would generally find there's a lot of worship and thanksgiving and praise at the start of those gatherings. And I would personally lead that period of time. But then there's going to be tones of a prayer meeting that certain people will be better at executing than others. And as a leader, we need to say, hey, I want this person to lead this now. And especially when it comes to warfare and you're resisting the devil and you're bringing down strongholds. I mean, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a prayer meeting rises very powerfully when you start to really take on spiritual forces that are against the church and bring them down. And you're effective when you're in unity like that. I mean, unity in prayer will break all sorts of bondages.
Yeah, so true.
And so I think identifying who can do what. I've been in prayer meetings, you know, smaller prayer meetings where just anyone can pray, and that's fine. I think that's how it needs to begin in a church and in small group meetings. There's a bit of an awkwardness while everybody goes quiet and somebody's trying to get the courage to start to pray, and that's good. Yeah. But as a church grows and gets bigger and you've got a prayer meeting of more than 20 or 30 people, I think it's better to start selecting people and say, hey, I want this person to do this and this one to do that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what you've identified is you know, what's on those people, right? And so you have to, I think you've got to, it really helps if you've prayed with them.
Yes.
But, you know, you get a sense of what's on people. I think prayer reveals so much of our theology, right? And the way people pray describes so much, shows you so much about how they see God and how they see themselves. And so knowing the people that you're praying with, really, really makes a significant difference. And then preparing them, knowing their gifts. I think, like you said, there is that there can be that awkward moment as we almost get in tune.
Yep.
In a room. And so at our conference prayer meetings, right, we always just start, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And I think we're doing a few things there. We're doing exactly what the Bible says. We're building up our inner man. We're sort of encouraging. We're getting this, we're sort of getting the spring going on the inside.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm leaving behind all the things I brought into the room. You know, we're starting to actually be present together and commune in a common language. We're not just bringing all our preferences, all our thoughts. And so I find that, you know, within 5 or 10 minutes, okay, we are on the same page now. And you can get that sense that, okay, we've got a platform to build on. And that's when we're starting to shift gears into praise, into declaration, and into warfare. Like any good meeting, it actually needs dynamics. Yes. Light and shade and highs and lows. And that's often one of the things, you know, we might say to our worship leaders or our people leading prayer meetings, hey, if we're already here, we don't always have to go, you know, here and just sit at 10 or 11 for an hour.
Right.
But have light and shade. For you, are those the moments where you get a real sense of, okay, we're shifting gear? Like, what does that feel like for you in those meetings?
Yes. Yeah, I think you can hear it. It's almost in the volume of the people that you're leading in prayer. Yeah. I've also found it's pretty important to maintain the unity of the whole meeting. So it's like no side conversations, people.
Yeah.
And I give some instructions before a prayer meeting because there are some people who feel like they've got to give a word to a person in private in the prayer meeting. So they're over in, you know, in seat number 14, row number 14, seat number three, and they're prophesying over somebody while everybody else is praying and seeking the Lord or else, you know. And I've actually walked up to people and say, hey, you can do that afterwards. Right now, we're all in here seeking the Lord. So it's an independent attitude that I don't want to spread because I think, what if everybody does that? We haven't got a prayer meeting. And if one person can do it, then everybody's got a right to. And I've actually told even one of our pastors once, I said, hey, you can't be talking to people in the middle of the prayer meeting. We all need to be doing that one thing, the oneness of spirit, the same activity. And we need to build people's stamina to stay focused over a longer period of time than just 10 minutes so that after 10 minutes they just wander off and do a Bible study with somebody else or they, you know, start praying for somebody. That's another thing that I tell people, look, this is not a time for ministry to one another or for us to even be praying for you in ministry. Yeah. This is a time for all of us to be crying out to God and seeking Him. We're not going to have altar calls. Maybe at the very end we will. This is just for prayer and seeking the Lord. And whatever comes out of it, at the end we will discuss those things. But let's all together just keep ourselves on the same page, all of us doing the same thing. And the power that comes out of that level of unity is far greater than if you've got a lot of independent operators doing their own little thing in the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Like to me, almost the model prayer meeting is in Acts 4, where, you know, I mean, it to me that just tells us what can happen in a prayer meeting as well. You know, in that chapter, we've got miracles, we've got all sorts of things happening, but then there's threats from the authorities. And when something was just about to almost get shut down, they gather to pray. And the sort of language that's used across that chapter, Acts 4, it just describes the believers being of one accord, of one heart and of one mind. Yeah. And that's what we're going for in those prayer meetings. We are like exactly what you just described, where while those other things are good, they have a different place. You know, you can write down a prophecy and give it to somebody later. That's fine. It's not saying those things are bad, but we are here to do the work. And so often that work is going on in us, especially say when we're gathering in our larger gatherings, say our conferences, et cetera, and we're coming from all over the place, bringing all these stories and happenings together. And we want to get on the same page. We are setting the platform for what is to come as we gather together. So we're kind of, you know, leveling the mountains and raising the valleys. We're preparing the way. We are finding that place of unity of mind and heart and spirit that is where God moves so powerfully. And there's, like you said at the start, there's a difference between private prayer life, right, and praying for the sick and laying hands on them, compared to these kind of prayer meetings. And in that passage in Acts, right, the room shook and the Holy Spirit filled them afresh. So and they were bold and began to proclaim the good news. So it shifted the early church, that prayer meeting.
Totally. And I think as leaders, it's our responsibility to do all we can to make sure that unity is happening, because the place of agreement, the place of unity is the place of power. There's no doubt about it. And twice that word you used, of one accord, it's in Acts 2 and then again in Acts 4. And both times there was such an amazing answer from heaven on people who were all doing the same thing at the same time.
That's right.
On the same page. It wasn't like they were off doing their own little thing, each in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global. And there you will find a giving section. And you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Another thing that I've found is pretty important is the subject of what is prayed about. And I mean, there's a lot of big things in the world that we could pray about. Oh, Lord, we pray for the problems between Russia and Ukraine. We pray, Lord. And there are some people who are very passionate and really into these areas. Lord, we just pray over the situation in Israel right now. And these are, as I said, these are real burdens that we can identify with. But when a local church comes together to pray, it's the prayer meeting for that church. Yeah. I have always been convinced we need to focus our prayers on that local church and on the needs that are right around us that each of us understand and are aware of, so that we can be empowered as a church to reach those people and then to pray for the people in the church to have revival, for God to be with us in all of that we're doing, in reaching out. And then on the weekend, in the public meetings, definitely we can pray for these international issues that are so disastrous in some areas. And then we can also have a special prayer meeting that we design for those situations. But the general week-by-week prayer meeting that a church engages in, I think the leaders should be directing people towards areas of that local church, the salvations of lost people. I don't think there's ever enough people getting saved in our churches, that people become responsible, engaged members. I don't think there's ever enough people who are just getting baptized into the body. And so we need to pray that the church increases and grows, and that we cry out for, and when we've done all that, you know, towards the end, we might want to pray for our nation, for the leaders, for the for the government. And that's totally appropriate. But I don't think an entire prayer meeting should be dominated by those areas when that local church has been called together to pray and carry the burden for the local church.
Yeah, that's right. You're praying as a community of faith in a particular place. That's a unique calling. You're a unique expression of the body of Christ. And so you're there to do something unique. Exactly as you said, great, have a prayer meeting about some big issues or make that a point in your public gatherings, definitely. But that there are things that are always going to be on the agenda for community of faith, in its context, seeking to see people raised and released in ministry, in evangelism, reaching their family and their friends. We've got to bring it right down to the coalface of where we're engaging with what God is doing in and through us. And so for us, like running our prayer meetings in our church, there's almost some standard practice. And, you know, sometimes we'll just drag in a whiteboard and literally write things. And some people feel, oh, okay, this isn't just... That helps some people to engage. This is not just going to meander.
Totally.
Someone's actually in charge of this. This is going somewhere. And so we're, like you said, we're always praying. There'll always be prayer for souls. We will always be praying for our leaders. We pray for you guys. We pray for our global team and our regional leaders and those around our city. I love praying for other churches. We're not in competition. Right? We want to see, we want the whole tide to rise. So we're praying for leaders and churches in our city and around us. We're always going to pray in some way for relationships, families, marriages. We want to see young people rising up. We're praying that our young people would be filled with passion and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amazing.
We're praying that God would stir our hearts, that he would. And that's the awesome thing. Like, as we pray for things, we get a passion for them. It's not always the other way around.
Right.
So I find that's really key. Do you experience that as well? Like, it's
totally, Nick.
Pre-decide.
Yes. Well, a lot of the things that we preach are the fruit of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, so we might say to people, hey, get excited about what we're doing. But actually, if they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, they'd get that fire and that passion. And that's why choosing who we choose to lead a prayer meeting is so important, because you do not want somebody who just prays unenthusiastically and quietly and without any conviction or faith. I mean, and this, again, is another leadership trait that all leaders must develop, the courage to not play the fair game, if you like. Oh, they've never had a go, that we should give them a go. It's like design everything so that you win. It's a winning point. And people go away from the prayer meeting saying, wow, that was, I'm energized. I'm so encouraged by that. And on that point, I know some people have attempted to have like an all-night prayer meeting or a 24-hour prayer meeting because somebody else did it. They didn't really stop to look to the Lord and say, should we do this? They just thought, oh, that's a growing church. We should do it. Mm. But it's just a horrible experience for some people. They just go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're trying to grind their way through. It's whittled down to like five people in the church, and it's The pastor might be trying to convince himself that they're doing something that's, you know, very sacred and holy. But it would be better to have a 40-minute prayer meeting that's full of fire than a 20-hour prayer meeting that's kind of dead and doesn't do anything. We got to avoid just getting religious and make sure that we have that passion, like you said.
Absolutely. I'd rather a 30-minute prayer meeting that goes for an hour than a... You know, than a 3-hour prayer meeting that was dead after 45 minutes and you spent the rest of the time just trying to revive it and keep it going. And like you said there, it's got to be what's God talking to you about, you know. And I think that's so vital in our personal walks and in the way we lead in our churches. Know your baseline commitments, but then ask the Holy Spirit what's unique for this season. So there might be your baseline, hey, we pray an hour on a Tuesday night or something like that. Or I tell you what, I don't know, you think about this, but our I generally say we're doing 30-minute prayer meetings, and yes. and that's what we'll aim for. But if it's still going and people yeah. are still into it, then
such a good idea.
Then that's great. And you see people linger because for some people, just the idea of an hour or 2 hours is just an immediate barrier, and they won't even show up.
Incredible.
So I'd rather, you know, we do want to stretch our muscles. So it's not like yeah. we're not going for the quickest possible. But yeah, we yeah. do. We want to just kind of work with what God is on and what He's doing. And
yeah,
I think the if I'm one of the challenges in a prayer meeting is when we start to run low on gas. I sort of say to our team, don't describe. We want to declare. So we're yeah. not just starting to tell God about Himself. Yes, praise is that to a degree, but we don't want to just be right. falling into the pattern of just having to endlessly describe things and use too many words
yeah.
to make up the time, right? We want to be seeding atmosphere and declaring, you know, who God is and letting That's that superb. Settle on people. And I think it works for worship leaders as well, you know, and mm-hmm. we less words.
Yeah.
Seed atmosphere.
Amen.
Get that yeah. sense. Allow God to deal with people.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons prayer meetings are a challenge to get people to come to is because it's work. It's everybody
yeah.
is working. And it's like eating vegetables compared to worship on Sunday morning is like having ice cream. And
so true.
I think we've been raised on a diet of a lot of worship in a lot of churches, but some people might have substituted that for prayer or thought that that's enough spiritual interaction with God, but we need to work and we need yeah. to go to work in prayer and to intercede, to groan, to cry out to God, to keep pressing through and breaking through when it feels like we're not, and to resist the devil and to push back demon forces. All of that is a working from a place of rest in the power of God. We're not straining, we're not white knuckling, but it is effort. And the work of God is that we believe, and believing is overcoming emotions of depression or discouragement yeah. and expressing it to God in yeah. real faith. And that circles me back to whoever leads a prayer meeting needs to be a faith person. Whether it's yeah. a man or a woman is, in my mind, we have both leading all of our prayer meetings and they're incredible,
yep.
both men and women. And your wife is an amazing prayer meeting
yeah.
leader.
Yeah, yeah. Look out when she gets
And
going.
I think, yeah, and it's also just as we draw near to a close here, describing that person, it could seem like a small point, but it's a big one. If the person is praying to be heard, it shuts the prayer meeting down. And yeah. and if they go like, Lord, we just pray here today that, and it hasn't got the gust of the wind of the Spirit in it. And everybody else stops praying and starts listening to the person praying. Yeah. And some yeah. people do what I'd call praying preaching. They'd rather be preaching to the people, but what they're trying to make it like a prayer. We want people
yeah.
who, when they pray, you see the whole congregation rise in volume.
Yeah.
And they're not listening to that person at the front praying. They're lifting their hands and they are praying and they're crying out to yeah. God. And there's this one voice of many yeah. people crying out to God.
Yeah, that's like, as you said that, it took me to that, you know, to the images of Revelation of the throne room. And
right.
there are these creatures that are just declaring God's goodness. It's pretty simple. And it's, you know, yes, I'm not advocating for repetitive prayer meetings, but simply just declaring. And you know, even right. as I'm thinking that, I'm thinking up, you know, I'm not saying, oh, Lord,
yes.
you are. And we just come before right. you as, you know, I'm thinking up and I'm thinking, Lord, you're magnificent. You yes. are, you're glorious. And as we say that and leave a bit of space, even that spirit of declaration, it's coming from a different place, isn't it? And
yes.
it is seeding atmosphere. And that, that is a unifying thing. Instead of straining to hear my homily, people, that declaration can sink into people's hearts. We're glorifying Jesus. That's what's happening in that throne room. That's the atmosphere that God dwells in,
so good.
Where he is glorified and magnified.
So good.
And so that's what we want in our prayer meetings, isn't it? So people who can do that, right? People who know God in that way can lead others into that space as well.
Yeah, there's not a great church in the world that I've been to that doesn't have a very alive, thriving prayer life, both of the individuals, the leaders, and the congregation coming together. From Dr. Cho's in Seoul, Korea, all the way around the world, that church has had influence, but its primary reputation is that it's a church of prayer, and they had Prayer Mountain.
Yeah.
I remember Charles Spurgeon, when he was asked, what's the secret to having the great London Metropolitan Tabernacle, which had nearly 7,000 people in it. He took people down to the basement, and when he opened the door, the place was roaring with prayer. The Moravian movement of prayer for 100 years of prayer meeting. And out of that came probably most every missionary movement in the world. Certainly John Wesley was touched out of that, and that set the world on fire. So we cannot ever underestimate the power of prayer, and the devil will do everything he can to get churches to stop praying or individuals to stop praying, because that's our Samson's hair. That's our secret.
Yeah.
That's our Nazarite vow. And here's the thing, right, Nick. If churches have been shaved of their power and of their prayer, the good thing is, people, it can grow again.
It grows back.
Yes, Samson's hair grew back. He got his power. And if we get prayer back, we have a revival of prayer, we will see the power also coming back into the church. So and why don't you pray for us, Nick, and pray for all of our churches and everybody listening in and pastors listening in, that we'd have the courage to lead our churches into a revival of prayer.
Yeah, let's do it. Lord, you are magnificent and glorious, and it is such a joy to walk together and to be encouraged by one another. And Lord, stir our hearts afresh, we pray. Let there be a personal revival that sees a corporate revival, that sees national revivals. Lord, where there is disappointment or frustration or even just complacency, consume that Holy Spirit with your fire and relight, rekindle what's on the inside of us, this deep desire to commune with you, to gather and glorify your name, Lord. And we just pray for all our pastors, our churches, and our leaders that even now from this Sunday onwards, in our prayer meetings, that these will be places of incredible power, that churches would be revitalized, that Samson hair would grow back, Lord, that we would always be known as a people of prayer, as we ask and seek and knock, and you move in power, Lord Jesus. So we just declare at C3 a praying movement now, tomorrow, always, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Nick. That was awesome.
Thanks, Pastor God bless Phil. You. Great chatting with you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in. And make sure you subscribe if you haven't yet. And jump over to any of our social media platforms. You can follow Phil Pringle on everything, on like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And I'm sure you'll find Nick Hind on Instagram as well. And check out his church in Belconnen. You're going to find you're in a place of power. God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.